across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
It's 7:06 now on Up North News Radio across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Friday morning, March 22nd. Nice to have you along. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob, author of the Stop the Presses newsletter and co-host of the Media Misses video series, about the way some news outlets are having a very tough time calling things what they are. From racism to anti-Semitism to connections to Russia, too many in the media are using what Mark refers to as weasel words at a time when straight talk is needed more than ever. All right, let's see. 7:07. We got a contest we got to run here. And that, of course, would be the Civic Media Ride into Spring text contest. Again, a statewide text contest where we give you a keyword in just a couple of seconds here. You go to the Civic Media app. You call up any one of the radio stations on the app, like 93.5 The Tap here in Chippewa Falls. There's a button there where you can call the show. There's a button there where you can text the show. Just hit that text button and text today's keyword. And that's it. You're in the running. Texts are drawn at random four times a day to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. There's also grand prizes like a 3-in-1 blender, outdoor patio furniture, bikes. So what you want to do is, now that you got that app ready, text the word green, the color green. Text that right now, and you will be entered in that contest. A nice way to handle things on a snowy morning. We find out that up in Tigerton from listener Rob, it is snowing 25 degrees. We got 4 inches of snow. I've been out plowing since 3 a.m., he says. Roads are snow-covered, slushy, and slippery, still snowing moderately. There's the view from Tigerton, now the view throughout all the rest of the state. Brings us to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful view out there, but slippery.
Whew. That's right. Yep. And Greg was giving you all kinds of praise off the top of the show about how you nailed it, where the precipitation line would be. And I think that made Greg a happy driver, or at least as happy as you can be.
Until I hit Waukesha.
Right.
Yep. Roads hadn't been treated yet, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No.
So be careful. There's plenty of roads out there still not treated. So, use care.
Yes. I've seen a lot of semi trucks jackknifed, cars in the ditches across the highways all statewide. So please be careful. A lot of road closures ongoing too from some of those crashes. Just remember, if you are hitting the road this morning, drive slow, take it easy. Don't be in any rush. Okay. This is some pretty rough weather out there, and we're still not in the worst of it, to be honest with you. Southern Wisconsin, you're still looking at another 2 to 4 inches throughout this morning, and it doesn't wind down until this afternoon. In fact, into the Green Bay area, Fox Valley, and along Lake Michigan, you could see the snow continuing through this evening, potentially, as some of those flurries ramp off the lake. So still some accumulations out there as we go through this morning, but everything for a majority of the state should wind down by this afternoon. We'll get a little break tomorrow before the next snowstorm. And I have to mention it because it's going to be hitting over this weekend, and it is massive. Looking at winter storm watches already going out for portions of Northwest Wisconsin. And in fact, if you're along Lake Superior, you are looking at anywhere from 1 to potentially 2.5 feet of snowfall on Sunday.
Yikes.
Yes. Wow. And a lot of that is going to be spilling into areas like Eau Claire, even as far away as Wausau. We could see anywhere from 6 to 10 inches. Pushing a foot is not out of question as we go into Sunday. And then this all flips to rain on Monday for a majority of the state.
It's my fault. It's me. I'm the problem. It's
I know.
I put fuel stabilizer in the snowblower last weekend, thinking, yeah, we're good to go. It's me.
And I cannot believe you did this to us.
I know. I did that. What are you thinking right now in terms of when that Sunday storm starts moving into the state, into the north and western parts?
Like, yeah.
So afternoon or an overnight or what?
It could be here as early as Saturday night through those overnight hours, really ramping up by late Sunday morning. So all day Sunday, I would not be driving around, especially into the northern half of the state. And then for the statewide as we flip from this rain or from snow to rain. Monday morning looks like a wintry mix with ice out there.
All right.
I know. Well,
let's change the subject for a second.
Okay.
You know what, Brittany? I really was liking you a lot, and then you go and tell the weathery truth.
Don't blame the messenger. She's trying to do her best from her little studio there, which has gotten a makeover.
I know, yeah, I'm trying.
It looks very cozy, but there's a light fixture of some sort that yesterday I thought was maybe a blue lightsaber, but today it's more like a red lightsaber, which leads me to ask whether you have gone over to the dark side. Are you some kind of a Sith meteorologist?
Right? No. I chose the red today as like the warning. Like it is not good conditions out there.
Fun.
My blue was a prep.
I like that. You're like the weather ball on top of some buildings. I like that very much.
We're going to start calling you Darth Cumulus.
Yes. I love it. I love these nicknames.
Oh, that's so great. All right, Brittany. Thanks so much. Stay safe. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You too. Thanks.
All right, temperatures around the state, all in the 20s here, ranging from 20 in Park Falls and 21 in Hayward to 28 in Waukesha, 29 in Madison. Everybody somewhere in between all of that as we go along. Reminder, you can always call the show at 855-75-CIVIC. That's a new number. Jot it down. Call into the show anytime, 855-75-CIVIC, to follow along with things that we might be talking about today. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is the daily newsletter that comes out from Up North News, from Christina Laurie. That's what I was looking to say. And we were mentioning at the end of the last hour that J.J. Watt, today is his 35th birthday. And Christina has put in there some of the biggest moments from the Badger legend's first 35 years here on Earth from his playing career. She's also got a note about how National Puppy Day, I believe, is tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow's National Puppy Day, Greg. So please be prepared to spoil the little fur ball over there.
We are currently fighting.
Oh, you're currently fighting?
Yeah, we had a bad day yesterday.
Oh, no. Really bad day. Okay. Oh, yeah. Tomorrow you'll make it up on National Puppy Day, including this article about an ice cream shop just for dogs.
Where?
It's in the Third Ward of Milwaukee.
Oh.
It's called Salty Paws, mm-hmm. and it sells ice cream and bakery treats for dogs and only dogs. So, make of that what you will. But, yeah, it's a dog-friendly establishment.
Nice.
For National Puppy Day. Yeah, I thought so, too. Also in the newsletter, a story about how the Biden administration is working to cap late fees on credit cards at $8. Again, we talked about that with Kia Vakil in our last hour and that whole Biden administration focus on the American consumer and all of the many things that have been done over the past nearly 4 years. There's also a link in there to learn more about the Badger women's hockey team as they get set to head to the Final Four, or the Frozen Four, if you will. Let's see, when is that? It's Friday evening tonight. They are in Durham, New Hampshire. The University of New Hampshire is hosting, and they are playing in the national semifinal tonight against Colgate. And if they advance, they will play the winner of the other semifinal today, which would be Ohio State versus Clarkson. So it could set up another national championship battle between the Badger women and the Ohio State women if it goes that way. But we've got to get through tonight's game with Colgate first. As far as the Badger men's hockey team goes, everybody will find out sometime this weekend, I think Sunday evening, because several of those conference tournaments are wrapping up, and then that will determine who gets in the brackets, and we'll find out where the Badger men go in the NCAA tournament. Of course, the Badger men's basketball team is in the NCAA tournament tonight. They will be playing a 12 seed, James Madison, tonight at 8:40 in New York City. If they win, they would go on and play the winner of Duke versus Vermont. Marquette, meanwhile, has a game this afternoon. Number two seed, the Golden Eagles, are taking on 15 seed Western Kentucky this afternoon at 1. If Marquette wins, they will play the winner of the 7 and 10 game, which would be 7th-ranked Florida and 10-seed Boise State, Colorado. But back to the Badger game tonight. Again, 8:40 is the tip. But the broadcast begins at 7:30 on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, and WRJN in Racine. So you'll want to be all a part of that. If you missed the games yesterday, and I did, but what I'm reading right here is that there were several big upsets. There were three different times where an 11 seed defeated a 6 seed last night. But then there was also a 14 that brought down a 3. That would be Kentucky, a 3rd seed, going down, upset by Oakland University, 80-76. And a large part of that was Oakland University's Jack Golke, who attended Pewaukee High School and was nailing three-pointers apparently at ease and helped propel Oakland University to that upset over Kentucky. Over to the NBA, Damian Lillard had his 3rd straight game with 30 points, and Giannis was back in the lineup as the Bucks beat the Brooklyn Nets 115-108. They will have a home game Sunday evening hosting Oklahoma City. And again, the usual stations to hear Bucks basketball, stations in Oshkosh, Richland Center, Amory, Racine, and Wisconsin Rapids, where you can tune in. But there's also going to be baseball today, spring training baseball, the Brewers versus Kansas City. You can catch that game on News from the Center, WRCE and Richland Center, starting today at 3 o'clock. Only 6 days now until opening day, next week, Thursday. What is it now? Citibank Field. Where do the Mets play?
You almost said Shea Stadium.
I know. Shea became Citibank or Citi Field or I don't. I
saw a baseball game.
I've always
game
said. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I saw a baseball game in Shea Stadium. It was amazing.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw them play.
Was it like Tom Seaver pitching or something?
I have no idea. At the time, I wasn't into baseball. I just had the chance to see a Mets game, and I'm like, let's go. So
yeah. Oh, no, good on you. That's great. I've always said when some of these places, you know, change their stadium names to, like, corporate names, you know, it's like, well, they're paying you for the name. They're not paying me for the name.
Yeah.
I called it Candlestick Park for years after it became, like, 3Com Stadium or something. I'm like, you know, if 3Com wants to send me some money, I'll change the name of the stadium.
Everyone's got a price.
Yes, that's right. All right, let's take a pause before we talk more about what's in the news today. Mark Jacob coming up at 7:30. Dan Schumacher's just called in sick, so we'll talk sports on our own here coming up in another half hour to wrap up our conversation here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:20 on this Friday morning, March 22nd. Nice to have you back on Up North News Radio. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, and part of Courier Newsroom also includes the Vibes Only podcast with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. This week, they talk about Donald Trump's unhinged rally in Ohio, where he said migrants were not people, but rather animals. He also said there'd be a bloodbath if he didn't win the election. And he's the one now trying to say that Joe Biden is a threat to democracy. And they'll also discuss what really should be the biggest story right now. And that is, you know, Donald Trump's former vice president refusing to endorse him. They'll talk about that bill that threatens to ban TikTok. And another case heard this week by the U.S. Supreme Court with huge implications for the government's ability to weigh in on misinformation when it's put on social media platforms. All of that part of the Vibes Only podcast. Go to couriernewsroom.com or wherever you get your podcasts for more information. Greg, I have to go back to the brackets for a moment. Not necessarily to talk sports, but to talk politics.
Okay.
If you are some kind of a political official, elected official, candidate, whatever the case may be, there's certain rules. And one of the rules is if you're filling out the brackets, who are you putting like in the final four?
Yeah.
Who are you advancing?
Okay.
Are you putting the Badgers there? Yes. Yes. Because you have faith in them. Is anybody going to hold it to you seriously? No, not really. You know, but when you just go out there and advertise, yeah, the Badgers of Marquette, they're not going anywhere. Well, you might be Eric Hovde, because he's has picked a team from Indiana. He's picked Purdue. He's picked a Big Ten rival to the Badgers.
The Boilermakers.
And Hovde, yeah, put on Twitter, at the end of the day, Purdue is too tough and will cut down the nets in Phoenix. Hovde is a University of Wisconsin alum.
Oh, I know. His ads tell me all the time.
he's wearing a UW pullover, you know, in his picture. Politicians, of course, they love to show off their NCAA tournament brackets. They love to show the home state team going all the way. Governor Evers posted his bracket on Tuesday with, you know, both Wisconsin and Marquette in the Elite Eight and the Badgers winning. Evers posted, "You better believe I've got Badger basketball going all the way." So just, again, for Eric Hovde, whose launch has had its rough moments, if you're going to pick another team besides the Badgers or Marquette, don't pick a conference rival. I mean, where's your head? Where's your head on this?
I don't understand most of the things. He did an interview with some podcast the other day. He said that prices will start to come down when we as a country stops printing money. It's like, as soon as we stop printing money, you'll see those prices come down. I'm like,
that's not how it works.
That's not how it works, buddy.
No.
At all. And you're running on, "I run a business, so I know how to run a country."
Yeah. But by the way, if I'm not mistaken, stock market set another record yesterday, another record high. Yeah. The Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ are all at all-time highs. We've never talked about that here. You never hear about it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And yet, if Trump were president, we'd be hearing that nonstop, that the Wall Street and the markets are at record highs. It's barely a blip on the radar. And that's something that's right into the wheelhouse of something I can talk to Mark Jacob about in a couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
On our social media feeds right now through Up North News, there's some video, some very sad video, I have to admit, of people leaving their workplace for the last time. And the workplace is Sacred Heart Hospital. Here in the Chippewa Valley in Eau Claire, Sacred Heart is closing its doors after more than 100 years. And another affiliated hospital, St. Joseph's, here in Chippewa Falls, is closing imminently. Again, it's a Springfield, Illinois healthcare corporation, Hospital Sisters Health System, that is making the move, closing the hospitals, closing the Prevea Clinic, and putting a whole lot of people out of work and adding more uncertainty to the healthcare of Chippewa Valley residents. To that end, the legislature has the opportunity to send money to the Chippewa Valley to try to retain some of these employees, retain some of these healthcare workers in some other form until maybe some other new group wants to come in and provide healthcare. But so far, it sits languishing with the Republicans in the legislature. Governor Evers had given that bill a partial veto so that the money could be more flexible with how officials in the Chippewa Valley spend the money to try to maintain a steady level of healthcare services here in Western Wisconsin. And Republicans did not like that he did some line item vetoes on the bill. And as a result, they are refusing to free up the funds. And so there could be additional aid going to the Chippewa Valley, but that's not happening right now. There's some news about the Enbridge pipeline that cuts through northern Wisconsin and then through Michigan as well. It's a Canadian pipeline. It originates in Canada. It ends in Canada, but goes across Wisconsin and Michigan along the way. It's controversial. It's getting older. We had a guest on last week talking about her new documentary about how this pipeline, known as Line 5, is cutting through the Bad River Reservation of Lake Superior, Chippewa. And they don't want that. They don't want that pipeline there anymore. It's aging. They're afraid it could have a catastrophic leak at any time. Michigan officials have the same fear. The Enbridge pipeline has leaked there in the past quite badly. And so they, along with folks in Wisconsin, are pressing to have the pipeline closed entirely. and that continues to be in court. The most recent development is that Michigan officials have pressed a federal appeals court to move the lawsuit from federal court to state court, arguing that state environmental protection laws are what's at play. Enbridge is saying, no, this is an international thing because it crosses the border into the U.S., but it's a Canada-to-Canada pipeline, and it crosses through these states that have environmental laws, that have environmental concerns, and where courts could take care of this matter. But for now, Enbridge is trying to keep this matter in federal court. They are trying to upgrade the pipeline. They are trying to build an extension of the pipeline around the Red Cliff Reservation, so it's not cutting through there, or not Red Cliff, Bad River. I'm sorry, the Bad River Reservation. They're trying to go around it. Unfortunately, they're going around it upstream. So even if there's still a pipeline rupture in the Bad River, it will still have horrible impacts on, you know, the indigenous folks there, as well as Lake Superior, where the Bad River empties into. And so there's many calls for the pipeline to be shut down. In one case, a judge has ordered the pipeline to be shut down, but in, I believe, a very extended period. I think they've got like 3 years or so to wind down operations of Line 5. But on and on the courts go, and we'll continue to monitor any developments that would affect folks here up north. And one last point I wanted to make for this half hour, and it's about everybody's favorite congressperson, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who got a very wide-ranging smackdown from Americans this week, when earlier this week she tried to take credit for money that's coming into her district in Georgia through the bipartisan infrastructure bill. No, 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 people reminded her, you voted against that. You don't get to take credit for the pipeline or for the construction job. Marking George Benson's 81st birthday today, this masquerade, which I didn't realize till yesterday, was written by the legendary Leon Russell. Coming up Monday, Motherhood for Good will join us. Our friends there will talk about the right-wing takeover of school boards and what people need to know when vetting candidates for their local boards of education. If you ever miss an episode of the show, you can either subscribe to us as a podcast or head over to civicmedia.us. And there, pull down the shows menu. You'll see every show there. And on each show page, you'll see hour by hour, each hour of programming. And you can listen back right there on the website, or again, you know, in podcast form. So civicmedia.us is the place to do that. One news note I don't want to forget here. We want y'all to be careful around school buses anyway, but that appears to have been a problem for a few too many drivers. And so Governor Evers yesterday signed a bipartisan bill that elevates the consequences of failing to stop for a school bus with its flashing lights. The minimum fine had been $30. The minimum fine is now $500. And the maximum has gone from $300 up to $1,000. So blowing past a school bus with flashing lights will now be a minimum $500 ticket up to $1,000. Again, just underscoring the commitment to prioritize our children's safety. The governor actually signed 54 different bills yesterday, a lot of them comparatively minor. He vetoed one that where the Republicans in the legislature were again trying to take away some of his power to appoint people to positions, and we may get into that next week. But for now, let's get back on track with our regular Friday morning guest, Mark Jacob, who is the author of the Stop the Presses newsletter and has a video series called Media Misses as well. And we're going to start by talking about this week's topics with Media Misses. Mark, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
All right. You know, I just think back to the late John McCain, and the thing that really got him some bipartisan attention and admiration back in 2000 was when he just used the phrase straight talk. Just if you see something, call it what it is. And, you know, straight talk was refreshing. And yet we still find ourselves wishing that more media outlets could engage in straight talk when they're trying to describe what somebody said or what somebody stands for. And instead, as you put it in this week's edition of Media Misses, they use what are called weasel words. Tell us about weasel words.
Yeah, that's a term that is really commonly used in newsrooms when, you know, when people avoid, when both newsmakers and the news media avoid, you know, saying things the way they are. You know, when you see the phrase racially tinged, you know, instead of racist, you know, that's, yes, that's a way to, you know, we don't want to call someone racist, even though they are obviously are. Or you call something controversial. That's just a way, just a blanket statement in which you're not going to get specific about why a person or an idea is controversial. You're just going to kind of throw that out there, kind of throw shade on it. It's, that's just kind of lame too. And you see things, Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, in the New York Times, he was described as having a penchant for dispensing with the facts, you know, that, which is different from being a liar somehow, but you tell me how, I don't know how, but he has a penchant, Pat. I mean, you know, it's like that. And, you know, you see, what set me off was the New York Times talking about Mark Robinson. That's the crazy guy who's the Republican nominee for governor in North Carolina, who is a Holocaust denier and, you know, doesn't believe in, believes, you know, that women should be subservient to men and stuff like that. I mean, he's just kind of a nut, you know, and they the New York Times called him, as he said, he was widely seen as anti-Semitic. I mean, the guy is, he's a Holocaust denier, and he said a lot of other crazy stuff. He said the Jewish bankers are part of the four horsemen of the apocalypse and stuff like that. He is a nut, and he's an anti-Semite. And when the New York Times says widely seen as anti-Semitic, that's their way of kind of establishing some distance and being kind of afraid to call, you know, a spade a spade.
And I think that there's too much of a waiting period. It's like after somebody's gone, you know, Sheriff Bull Connor, you know, is a racist. Right. They'll say the racist sheriff who, you know, turned fire hoses and dogs on civil rights protesters. He was a racist while he was alive as well. And, you know, may deny the label, but a label is not for somebody to accept or deny. A label is what a journalist sees and reports back.
Right, with that, you know, with evidence, with lots of different kinds of evidence. You know, another thing that got me, the New York Washington Post, for example, they're writing about Paul Manafort, you know, and in another brain exploding bit of news here, you know, Trump is supposedly thinking about bringing Paul Manafort, the convicted felon who was conspiring with the Russians and sharing polling information with them, and, you know, and was just really, I mean, he was a money launderer too. I mean, the guy's a terrible person, and supposedly Trump's going to bring him back to help with the Republican National Convention in, you know, your fine state. And so the Washington Post says Trump may enlist Paul Manafort, who was criticized for Russia ties. Well, what is this was criticized stuff?
Right.
I mean, he had Russian ties, and a Republican named Robert Mueller, who did the Mueller report, established that with beyond a shadow of a doubt. So when you say was criticized, what you're doing, I think, is you're turning it into some sort of partisan sniping. You're turning it into, you're making it a well, if this is these opinions, that's what they think, and that's what the other people think. You know, and the news media turning facts into opinions is dangerous, because then everything becomes an opinion. Everything becomes, well, this is how I feel. I don't care about the facts. And the fact that facts have been downgraded as an important thing in news media is, to me, a very alarming trend.
Yeah, here's another example that you put up from the New York Times talking about in Hungary, the prime minister there, Viktor Orban, keeps his grip at home by doling out cash, critics say. Critics say he's doing what he's doing.
And Pat, the whole article, this is the New York Times, and the whole article establishes with multiple examples that he's doing exactly that. The article doesn't say, well, we don't know if he is, critics said. The article establishes it, but the cowardly headline writers at the New York Times have to throw it, critics say. And I just wonder whether there's some sort of automatic program in their computers where they just every time they try to say something that's bold and factual, someone's got to throw critics say at the end of it.
Well, or if you put something in quotes and you don't attribute it right away, then people think these words come from you, which you can see in this example. Alabama Republicans pass expansive legislation targeting DEI. The measure would not only cut funding to diversity programs at public colleges, but also limit the teaching of, quote unquote, divisive concepts surrounding race and gender, since when is teaching anti-racism a divisive concept? Why would you include that in quotes? Why?
Yeah, well, I think they attempt to do it because that's part of the legislation, I guess. But they should, the thing about that is that gets me about that story is, all right, well, hold on here. You know, I mean, this is white people in Alabama making sure that we don't have divisive comments in our teaching. I mean, this is, I went back and did, I've done some research on Alabama and all this racist stuff there back in the 50s and 60s. The state actually spent money commissioning an out-of-state professor to come up with a study that showed that black people were inferior. I mean, this is like state money was spent on a kook deciding that with no evidence that black people were inferior. I mean, this is, and that's the, you know, that was in the 50s and I believe were the 60s and early 60s. But so this is not a state that doesn't have a history of, and for them to say, well, we're just making sure that nobody's racist anymore. I mean, give me a break. One of the best things about that story that I like is people saying, you know, because if you know Alabama, you know that nothing's more important than sports and football, especially. And people saying, well, you know, I'd say black athletes, if you're talented, don't go to Alabama. And if they had recruiting problems, that would be a crisis in Alabama.
Oh, sure. How is it not a bigger story that Donald Trump's former vice president won't endorse him? Because, again, I try to turn the tables on this. And if something like that were the case with a Democratic former president running for office again, that would be monster news.
You know, yeah. And let me concede that it's not as important as it used to be, maybe, what's on the front page of the New York Times. But at the same time, that seems like huge news. It seems like what a repudiation. I mean, it's and really unprecedented, you know, that somebody would go to that lengths. And also, was it because he said it on Fox? I believe that's where he said it. Or I have no idea what the thinking in the newsroom of the Times was. But generally, I guess these times are so weird for news gathering and for how you play stories, because there's always a new thing, Pat. I mean, it's like, you know, the one crazy outrageous thing happens and then 6 hours later, another one. And so nothing sticks. Nothing has the kind of staying power that it might have had in a normal era.
I wonder as well, I talked about this story in the last hour, talking about how, you know, Hunter Biden is taking over the Democratic National Committee, and everybody donating to the Democratic Party is actually donating to Hunter Biden's lawyers. And then I remembered, no, that was a typo. This actually the Trump family that took over the Republican National Committee. And now there's this, you know, new arrangement where donations, you know, intended for national Republicans up and down the ballot are getting siphoned in part to Trump's legal bills. And again, it seems like that's something more Americans ought to know about.
Well, right. I mean, that is kind of the last straw as far as this, the subversion of a formerly reputable political party, you know, into kind of this subsidiary of the Trump organization. It's, you know, it's just kind of shocking in a way, or it would have been shocking in the old days. Now it's just, you know, that's what the Republican Party is. It's been completely subsumed by Trumpism. And, you know, if I were like one of the down ballot candidates, you know, if I'm running for a congressional seat or if I'm whatever in the Republican Party, I would be very alarmed. I mean, this seems like, you know, you're going to be like the spigot is going to be turned off, or it's going to be the water's going in a different direction.
It's almost as if there's now this assumption that, well, there are billionaires out there, you know, mega millionaires like the Elon family, you know, they'll take care of the candidates. They'll take care of the congressional candidates. Derek Van Orden here is going to get all kinds of private money. The party money for all the little mom and pop small donors, That's the legal fund. You know, that's not, we'll depend on these very, very wealthy people to fund these races when that used to be the role of the party. Right. And I don't even know the role of the party when you see this kind of an arrangement.
Well, and it certainly means that those candidates are more wholly owned by the, you know, the super wealthy people who gave them all the money. You know, so that's an issue as well.
Yeah. Here's something that is refreshing though. And we've talked about this a long time ago, and it's nice to see the change happening. And that is Republicans taking credit for money and jobs and projects coming into their state, into their district, when they voted against it. And this week's example was Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to take credit in a newsletter Monday night. I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but it was very much a, I really want to get this. Oh, yes. Greene's office says the Congresswoman, quote, meticulously sought out projects that would improve quality of life, increase economic and social development, assist localities with vital funding needs, and harness community support. That's a lie. And maybe news outlets weren't saying that's a lie, but at least they were picking that up and saying, no, she didn't vote for the bill. She was opposed to the bill. Now she's trying to take credit for it. That's a little bit refreshing to see that change.
Yeah, yeah. And people need to stay on that. You know, that's another thing is that I think that, you know, that the Democrats have sometimes gotten bored with their best issues and stopped, you know, stopped pounding on them. And in this case, you know, it was last week, I think it was Elise Stefanik of New York, who one of the worst members of Congress and most dishonest, because she used to be, I think she was a moderate or pretend to be a moderate. And then she became a far right kind of person, election denier. And, you know, she had some big ballyhoo about some water project. And, you know, clearly she had voted against it because she votes against anything that Biden would come up with. And that needs to keep on happening. I mean, I wouldn't, if you want to turn it into once a week series, you know, that people need to be reminded about how dishonest and really how useless the Republicans in Congress have been. I mean, they don't want to pass anything. They can barely, you know, keep the government running, and they're fighting with each other today. They're you know, undercutting the guy who's just barely by a thread holding onto the speakership, Mike That's Johnson. Right.
All right. Mark Jacob, thanks so much again. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Okay. Back with a little bit of sports talk after this. You're up north.
From being close together.
No, it's not the Grateful Dead. It's George Benson one more time for turning 81 today. Special request by Greg Bach, who could not believe I didn't put this in the original music lineup for today.
I mean, it's just, it's so good. And you'll
is this what the kids call a banger?
It's what the kids call a banger, as the kids say. Okay. This song slaps.
It slaps.
It's part of a playlist by a guy named The Real Yachtsman. And I'm like, I'm going to find this list and I'm going to download
The Real Yachtsman?
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of yacht rock?
Probably. Let's.
Oh, I'm in. Oh, I'm in.
It's all George Benson, too.
Oh, my. Okay.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, love that song.
Okay. Sounds good. So Dan Schumacher normally joins us at this time, but as you could tell, people are dropping like flies around Wisconsin here. Sarah Godlewski was supposed to be on a few days back. Yeah. Sounded terrible. Dan sounded terrible. I sounded terrible a couple of weeks back. Greg, you didn't get any of this yet, did you?
Ha ha! I'm immune from all of your human diseases.
Oh, well, in that case, yeah, rock on. So we're going to do our best to cover a little bit of sports here, but we're going to start with the news story here first, because, and I talked about this with Chad Holmes on his show yesterday up on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, this new controversy about baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani, who is caught up in a gambling controversy. He is not being accused of anything, but there's a just kind of a weird appearance here, because his interpreter has been fired after Ohtani's representatives accused him of stealing millions of dollars to place illegal bets. So this now fired interpreter reportedly gave an interview to ESPN claiming that Ohtani had transferred millions of dollars from his account to him to cover the gambling debts. Ohtani's representatives said no, he had actually been the victim of theft. And there's no right answer. Well, I mean, somebody could say the right answer is to shut down all gambling, but when I say there's no right answer, I mean that would be a tough one to do. There's always been some form of gambling. The question is, has it gone too far where you have, you know, gambling sponsoring the sports casts, you have ESPN Bet, you have, it's just mm-hmm. gambling everywhere. And I mean, a story like this was inevitable, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, at what point do you just have to say, look, gambling is happening. Why isn't it just legal? It's sort of like the Delta 8 thing here in Wisconsin. It's like we have Delta 8 and Delta 9, which gets you high. Why don't we just have weed? Not to take the conversation in a different direction, but just sort of that thing of like, we have it. I can access it. Why is it still illegal? And I've been listening to some of these reporters, and they're very gingerly talking about this right now because the one thing they're asking very lightly is Ohtani a part of this? Like, it's not just a theft thing, but is Ohtani betting as well? And is there
Which
any
would
evidence?
Be crazy when you consider when he went to the Dodgers in the offseason, he signed a $700 million contract. He doesn't have to gamble. He won. He's yeah. getting all the house money from Chavez Ravine. He's getting $700 million.
Yeah, but
he doesn't
some
have
the,
to gamble it.
I mean, same thing with Michael Jordan, but that man is mm-hmm. addicted yep. to gambling. I mean,
oh yes.
Yep. So,
oh yeah. I'm not saying that he shouldn't. Of course he might, Michael Jordan is the poster child for this, where they're making millions of dollars, but they will still go crazy to sink a putt because there's somebody's waving a $50 bill right there because yeah. it's cash money or whatever the case may be.
I just hope he's not a part of it, or like, you know, I mean, I hope that nothing he's done is going to get him in trouble, because the guy is the bright light of baseball. He's the, like,
yes,
he is. He's, forgive the comparison, it's sort of like Taylor Swift in football, where like when you think of Ohtani, you're like, oh my God. Like, I root for the Dodgers when they're playing teams I don't like. I'm like, of course I want Ohtani to crack three home runs and strike out everybody and then save a child from a burning building.
he could probably do that. Yeah. And we don't need that kind of was it Joe Jackson with the Black Sox scandal?
Yeah.
We don't need that kind of a fall from grace.
Yeah.
People look at, you know, Pete Rose, for example, and that is the big asterisk to all mm-hmm. this, where it's not quite like legalizing marijuana or something, is players would throw games or yeah. coaches would, you know, do something for a way to shave points. When really they should, you can't make this happen, but they should be the least aware of what the point spread is. They should just worry about winning or losing, not whether they win by so many points so they go for the touchdown instead of the field goal.
Yeah.
And that would be the worst thing, is if you started to see something like that regularly, because they're going to get some kind of a kickback one way or the other from people gambling.
Yeah. I personally think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, but that's just me.
My view on it is admittedly very dark, but if I were the commissioner, I'd say, yeah, you have great achievements and everything, and someday you're going to go in the Hall of Fame, just not in your lifetime.
Yeah,
you have a life sentence that you will not see yourself going to the Hall of Fame. Now, he could still take solace in the notion that, yeah, he's going to be in there someday. And I've seen Pete Rose live, and he's still as much of a jerk as ever. You know, he's very bitter and very, very full of himself,
yeah.
you know. And I think he knows that that's going to be the case. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He, you know, watching him play when I was a kid was just, it was such a treat to watch. But you gambled on your own team, and there has to be some kind of an ultimate penalty for yeah. that. Now, in this case, he was betting on his teams to win, so it wasn't the worst thing, which is betting on your team to lose and then not trying.
Yeah.
But still, the athletes, there's no reason for this, yeah. you know? There just isn't. You're already there. Play the game.
Yep. But I feel like if Ty Cobb is in the Hall of Fame, put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. Ty Cobb was again, a nightmare of a human, so.
Oh, yes. And, you know, who knows what all he might have done, you know, in his lifetime. He didn't have TMZ and all the other yeah. salacious, you know, paparazzi and gamblers at the time. So
yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, if Dan were here, we'd also be reminding him that the NCAAs continue tonight. You've got Badger basketball, 8:45 tonight. against James Madison. And you can hear that game. Coverage begins at 7:30 on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. News from the center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine. And Marquette plays at 1 o'clock this afternoon against Western Kentucky. Laughing Tap, real quick, your guest this week is again?
Casey Shornema. Tickets available at laughingtap.com. Come on down. No drink minimums. You can see me. I'm the guy at the front door every weekend.
You're the front door guy?
Yeah.
Do you have a velvet rope or something there?
And when people are like, oh, you're the bouncer, I always say, yep. Or you work here? Yeah. Or you take check IDs? Mm-hmm. I never tell them what my position is there.
Good. I like it. All right. Fun. I'll see you on Monday.
Yeah.
And thanks for being part of our show today. Have a great weekend. Up North News.